What is it like to be an ambassador, to officially represent your country and its values in a foreign environment? Today, we'll meet Ambassador Catherine Prophet, a woman who not only served as his country's official ambassador, but also serves an even higher calling today. Stay tuned to hear her inside tips and more right here on Revival for a Mission. Mr. Wilson, you have encountered many ambassadors in your life, I presume. Tell us about what that means.
Well, you know, an ambassador is someone who represents his or her country. They come in with lots of protocol. They're well respected. They have a lot of people involved in the entourage and, you know, making everything turn out just the way it should and all that kind of thing. Usually they arrive, you know, with kind of a flurry of protocol. Flags are waving and people are saluting and all that kind of thing. And you know, really, ambassadors are very special people. And they represent their government to the best of their ability. It's an opportunity for us to remember that all of us are ambassadors for Christ. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 20, Paul himself was talking about being an ambassador in a very odd, difficult situation. And he says here, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So regardless of what setting we're in, what situation we're in, if we are a believer in Jesus, if we have accepted him into our lives, we are ambassadors under all conditions, and he expects us to perform as an ambassador, not through our own power, but by our connection to him. So what an amazing opportunity to truly be an ambassador for Christ in any circumstances or any circumstance, recognizing that it is God who works in us and through us to accomplish exactly what an ambassador is supposed to accomplish. Praise his name.
We have a very special guest today, Ambassador Catherine Prophet. Welcome to Revival for Mission.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
What does an ambassador do, and how do you get to be an ambassador? Those are the kinds of questions that we will talk about today. And especially, what happens when you compare being an ambassador for Christ with being an ambassador for your country? So, ambassador for the United States, how did you get to become an ambassador?
Well, the short answer is it was a miracle. It was a series of miracles. And as I look back, for many years, God had been putting things in motion that all came together for me to have this unique opportunity. So, you know, I like to say that God has a sense of humor because he always finds the least likely, least qualified person so that we know it's him, it's his miracle. And that very much is my story. When I was a little girl, I used to dream about what I might be when I grow up. And I promise you, Sam, being an ambassador never once crossed my mind. But, you know, it's proof that if we surrender our lives to him, God has plans that are so bigger and so amazing than anything we can imagine.
And welcome. I'm calling you Kathy, but you are the Honorable Ambassador. But we're good friends, and what a privilege to have you with us here on Revival for a Mission. You know, an ambassador is a representative of a national government in an international setting. But what are the, generally speaking, because you said you really never thought about becoming an ambassador and all of that, but generally speaking, what are the technical qualifications for being an ambassador? What are the responsibilities of an ambassador? I mean, it sounds kind of glamorous and nice and all that, but there are a lot of functions you have to engage in, negotiations, carrying messages, But you explain it. What are the qualifications and what are the responsibilities generally of ambassadors?
Well, first of all, let's put this in the context of we're all ambassadors. I had the honor and privilege of being an ambassador of the United States, but every one of us has a much higher calling as ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ, not an ambassador of a president or a king or a queen, but of the King of the whole universe. So when we talk about the qualifications, let's keep in mind that they're really the same for being ambassadors for Christ as well. So the first thing is you cannot be an ambassador unless you are really a citizen of the country you're going to represent. And so I could never have become an ambassador had I not had citizenship. Now, in the U.S., there's three ways you can become a citizen. You can be born in the United States. You can, after a period of time, take some tests and become a nationalized citizen, or you can become adopted by a citizen. And in the Christian realm, you know, it's really exciting because we have a chance to have a whole new birth when we're baptized. We have a new birth and we're literally then the sons and daughters of God. So I think having citizenship in heaven is the first qualification for being an ambassador. The next thing is a little bit trickier in that you have to be chosen. So how do you be chosen to be an ambassador? There's 300 million citizens, more than in the United States. Most citizens never have the opportunity to ever even meet a president, let alone to get to know one well enough to be chosen. So in my case, this was a real miracle of the Lord that I actually had the opportunity to meet and get to personally know the president. And then, other thing is that you have to prepare. There's study and preparation. I spent many months preparing to become an ambassador before I actually went to Malta. So those are the general qualifications.
As I grew up, my father dreamed of me being an ambassador. In fact, he always wanted to be an ambassador himself, but instead he went into the military career. And he thought I could fulfill that dream. So he brought me up to become an ambassador. And my mother, on the other hand, had dedicated me to the ministry, which was a fascinating story. So there was always this tension at home. And when I was about 11 years old, he painted a full picture for me. He said, ambassadors have a wonderful life. You will go to parties. You will be picked up at the airport wherever you go. You will represent your country. And I loved the vision that he painted for me. Is the life of an ambassador just going to parties and representing your country in nice events? Or what else is it that you do?
It's so much more than that. You do those things. I mean, I had a very privileged life. I lived in the ambassador's residence in Malta. I had staff that looked after me, but I never worked harder in my life in any professional career because you are an ambassador 24/7. And so it's more than going to parties. You're actually representing the United States of America in anything that touches that particular country that you're accredited to. So I guess the best way to describe it, Sam, is we know the model of Washington with the president and the cabinet, and every embassy is really organized in a very similar way, where you have the ambassador, who is the representative of the president of the country, and then you have a country team that's made up of all the different agencies in government, Department of State, Department of Defense, agriculture, you name it. And so we have country team meetings instead of cabinet meetings, but you have a team, and it really is a team, very much like it is in the Christian world. We're in the body of Christ. And I say that being an ambassador, it was really hard work. I slept very little during those years, but I also had a great job because I had a tremendous team, and they did all the work and I get all the credit. So there was that.
Now, Kathy, you've made a very beautiful allusion to the fact that all of us are ambassadors. Now, you have a unique role to play even in this interview, because you are an ambassador for Christ, as we all are if we accept Jesus into our hearts and allow him to work justifying and sanctifying us every day through his righteousness. So we can all be ambassadors for Christ, as 2 Corinthians 5 tells us. And we're going to reference that little during the program. But you also have been an ambassador for a very major nation in the entire world and on the global scene. Can you work out more these beautiful parallels between being an ambassador for Christ, being an ambassador for a nation? What are the similarities so that our viewers can identify and say, well, yes, I'm an ambassador, and yes, that's the kind of thing I can do, and I understand my role better as to what Paul was saying, that we are all ambassadors for Christ. Can you kind of take some time and work that out? Because you're in a unique seat right now, having been twice an ambassador, and you still are an ambassador in both cases.
There's so many parallels. But I think one thing to keep in mind is the definition of what an ambassador is. An ambassador is someone who leaves their homeland to live in a foreign country. You know, I'm reminded of an experience that I had just as I was getting ready to leave for Malta. I had my final interview with the Secretary of State for European Affairs, and Ambassador Grossman asked me during this interview, along with my plans for my mission, etc. He had this beautiful big globe, and he said, "Kathy, can you show me where your country is?" So I twirled the globe around and pointed in the middle of the Mediterranean to where Malta is located on the globe. And he said some words that I never forgot. He said, "No, Kathy, that is not your country. Your country is the United States of America, and you must never lose sight of that fact." The same is true in the Christian experience. As we talked about, we're citizens of heaven. We're not citizens of this world or of this planet. We're here as foreigners on a diplomatic mission. And so we need to always keep that in mind. We should look different. We should act different. We should kind of stand out as being unique, because we are. We're from heaven. We're not from here. And, you know, the scriptures talk about how we are aliens in this world. And so I think that's one thing to keep in mind, that our home is in heaven. It's not here on this earth. And while it's really tempting to become so assimilated into the culture in which we live, we have to be very careful to resist that, because we're here to represent the Lord Jesus Christ and kingdom of heaven. So that's one thing. The other thing I think is that Jesus really gives us the best example. He came to this earth to show us about his heavenly Father. And he's the best example. He was the master diplomat. He showed us everything that we need to do to be a successful ambassador. And the thing that sticks out in my mind is that the Bible tells us he was so committed and so connected with his Father that even the words that he said were not his own. And so I think keeping that in mind, Jesus's example, everything he did was about serving and showing the love of his heavenly Father, but also he was so surrendered that his self was completely lost in the vision of who his Father was, to show the loving Father to this world. And so that is our primary mission as ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the things that I did as an ambassador was, from time to time, I gave official communications from my government to the government of Malta. They're called the marches, which in French means marching orders. And so a very serious message would be in the form of an official démarche. And we have démarches to give to this world. The Three Angels' message is a special message from the kingdom of heaven to the citizens of planet Earth. And it's a privilege, but also a duty and a responsibility that we represent the kingdom of heaven by faithfully delivering the demarches and the messages that the Lord has given us.
That's fascinating. Let's take back the first point that you mentioned, because I'm still processing it. And one of the things that amazes me is the compound where the embassy is, it's considered the territory of the country that it's,
yes.
The compound in Malta was territory of the United States. And,
yes.
And this is a tremendous analogy for us, because if we are ambassadors of Christ to our neighborhoods and to this world, then our homes are the very territory of heaven. Whenever you enter there, you should know how heaven is, which brings up all sorts of passages and thoughts about our homes being a little piece of heaven in many ways. And this is a tremendous analogy and a responsibility for us, because we don't always live up to the principles of heaven, even in our own homes, right?
It's really true. And there was the embassy where our office was located, and there was also the ambassador's residence, which was in a different location. But both of those pieces of real estate were actually deeded and given to the United States of America by Malta. So that was American U.S. sovereign soil. And when visitors came to my residence, it was a beautiful, beautiful palazzo that I lived in. But it wasn't just so that I lived a special privileged life. It was to showcase American free enterprise and prosperity and open markets. It was to show this is a statement about the economics of the United States. Everything was a statement. The pictures that I had, people love to look at the pictures that I had of the president and his family, and they love to ask questions. Everything, really, Sam, to your point, whether I was in the embassy or not in the embassy, everything that I did or said was being watched, whether I realized it or not. And the same was true with my children. So it reminds me of the little song that we used to sing as children. Do you know, O Christian, you're a sermon in shoes? As ambassadors for Jesus, not only in our own home, in front of our own families, but everything we say and do is a testament as to who is Jesus? Who is God? Who's our Heavenly Father? We don't think of it in those terms, but it's a really awesome and serious responsibility.
Now just a quick question here. I don't want you to tell state secrets or anything like that, but in terms of dealing with dignitaries, authorities,
yes.
other people within civil service, do you find that many of them are truly genuinely trying to help people, or are they just putting on a facade? I'm sure that's the case with some. But what kind of rapport is there, even when the cameras are away and you're dealing and negotiating? Do you find some genuine goodness in the intentions of people?
I do. And this was one of the things that was surprising, because, I was Little Miss Nobody from Arizona, who did not run in the circles of the famous. Because of my experiences, all of which were miracles, I got to not only know the president, but all of the cabinet members and many of the high-level officials in the United States. I also got to know the dignitaries of Malta, but many other countries, because whenever there would be a state visit, I would be invited to the dinner and have the opportunity to meet many of these people that we recognize on television. And the interesting thing was, really down to a person, we're so similar. We're all just human beings. And that was one of the things, Elder Wilson, that that struck me is, people are bigger than life on television, but when you take all of that away, they are just normal people like you and I. And I can't really think of any exceptions. They may have a different approach. They may have different beliefs or ideology, but they were all committed to just doing the very best that they could and making a difference.
Ambassador Catherine Prophet, we are coming back to you in a few moments with more questions just after the break. Welcome back. You're watching Revival for Mission. We are here with the Honorable Ambassador Catherine Prophet, and we're talking about what it means to be an ambassador to a country. Now, Kathy, I have a question about the availability of heads of state, because you work directly with the president, and it's very difficult to get an audience with a head of state. And you were there in a meeting with the president, and something happened, and I love that story. Could you tell it to us, please?
Sure. You know, it's true. And really, power comes from having access to the head of state. So I had the occasion, and this was a miracle, to be invited to a Christmas dinner at the White House. Now, everyone thinks that they're the most important friend of the president's. So to be diplomatic, you choose, there's a big silver bowl, and you choose your table out of that bowl. Well, this was another miracle, but I was seated along with my son at the president's table. So as you can imagine, there's a lot of security. You can't just walk in to see the president. Even cabinet members, if they want to go to the Oval Office, they need an appointment. So during this dinner, all of a sudden the door flung open and in walked an uninvited guest. And no one stopped her. She walked all the way over to our table, right next to the president, and she began to whisper to him. Well, as you might guess, this was the young daughter of President Clinton. He stopped everything he was doing to listen to what she had to say. And you know, Sam, I just have thought so often about how access is the most important, powerful thing we have. And because we're the literal sons of God, of the King of the universe, we have access to him, to the very throne of God, whenever we want. We can come boldly as his children, and he's going to stop and listen to our petitions. And yet it also is sad that so often we become so preoccupied, so involved with our own lives, that we stand him up. Can you imagine standing up the president of the United States if you had an appointment with him? And yet sometimes we're just too busy to spend time with him, to do our devotions, to pray. And so as ambassadors, I think this is a key that we spend, that we take advantage, full advantage of the access that we have as sons and daughters of God.
Now, Kathy, you know, you mentioned earlier that you were an ambassador basically 24 hours a day. There's a beautiful analogy, and Pastor Sam, you're musing to me privately also, and maybe it was on our program, about all these amazing allusions, these amazing comparisons. Can you just explain to our viewers a little more why it is that as Christians, as Seventh-day Adventists, we are not just representing the Lord, you know, in public, or when we go to church, or in some official function, but actually we are ambassadors for the Lord 24/7.
It's very true, Elder Wilson. It's a really good point. As an ambassador, you never get to take a vacation. Even if I went home to see my family, I was still the United States ambassador. My phone was ringing, things were happening. So we represent the Lord Jesus Christ 24/7. We're always on duty, and it's an amazing responsibility, but what a privilege to actually be the personal representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing, but it's our entire life, every moment, we need to be mindful of this.
I think my mom would love your analogy to entering and talking to God when you need, because whenever I have a particular problem I need prayer for, I go to her and she says, "It's okay, son. I have an appointment in with the throne room. I will enter the throne room of God of the universe, and I will present this to him, and he's going to fix it." So there is this notion of the ambassador also representing people to their country and saying, these are the interests of people. Can you help?
Yes, it's true. Your mom, I can tell, is an amazing diplomat for the Lord. That's great, Sam.
She's an amazing lady. You need to meet her sometime.
I hope to meet her.
Yeah, what a blessing to be a representative of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And We're grateful that you're such an active representative of the Lord in your church, Kathy. Tell us just a little bit for the last few moments what it feels like to represent the King of the universe.
Well, it's much more amazing and a higher privilege than representing a president or a king. And I think especially in these times where, we know that Jesus is coming soon. We can see the signs. But with COVID and the things that are happening, our responsibilities are not only greater, but our opportunities are greater because the world is listening. They're looking for answers. They're seeking answers. And one thing I was thinking about just the other day, because we're now to the point where we're having some hope with these vaccines that there, maybe this will end at some point in time. And I was just thinking of the really special message that we have as ambassadors, that Jesus, we've got a much bigger problem than COVID-19. We've got an infection, a virus that affects 100%, and it's 100% fatal. And yet Jesus came, intentionally infected himself with this virus so that he could give us the antibodies to heal us. And of course, that's sin. And this message of hope, the rest of the world doesn't have. And it's just so exciting that in our own circle of influence, we can share the good news of Jesus and what he's done, of salvation, and the fact that he's coming soon. The three angels message, really, that's the special message that Seventh-day Adventist ambassadors have to share with the world.
Thank you so much, Ambassador Catherine Prophet, for telling us about your experience. And you know, to each of you who are watching, what a privilege it is to know that God has a special plan just for you. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we've referenced that. Verse 20, it says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." So each of you, be reconciled to God. Know that He loves you intently, and He has a job for you to do as an ambassador for Him. Jesus is coming soon. Thank you for being with us on Revival for Mission.